Welkom bij weer een nieuwe aflevering van Groen, een podcast van Femke Cornelissen.
En Maarten Goed.
Ja, en tijdens een recente trip voor de Microsoft MVP Summit zijn we weer in Seattle geweest.
Ja, en dit keer spraken we met Fabian Willemsen. Fabian Willemsen?
Ja, zeg je Fabian of Fabian?
Volgens mij Fabian misschien wel. Ja.
Ja, nou, hij komt hier bij de oostkust vandaan, vlakbij ergens New York, Boston. En hij werkt bij Microsoft.
Ja, hij is community lead en vooral, vooral gefocust op de Graph.
Ja, de Graph API.
Ja.
En hij is helemaal nog niet zo lang bij Microsoft. Dat vonden we ook zo leuk aan het gesprek.
Ja.
Want hij heeft de transitie gemaakt van iemand die als MVP, geloof ik zelfs, in het leven stond en dan de overstap maakte naar Microsoft.
Dat klopt. En hij is vol enthousiasme en volgens mij ook echt wel iemand die veel mensen coacht en helpt in de Microsoft community. Dus die rol past echt super goed bij hem. Maar het enthousiasme, dat komt er vanaf.
Ja, we namen de podcast op in een van de vergaderkamers, in een van de gebouwen op de Microsoft Campus.
Ja.
Het grappige is, voor Fabian was dat ook de eerste keer dat hij daar was.
Ja.
En we spraken met hem over die transitie, over die overgang naar Microsoft. We hebben het ook nog heel even gehad over zijn dochter.
Ja, klopt. Want die spreekt spreekt af en toe ook op conferenties. En dat is wel bijzonder. Dus ze gaan samen, gaan ze een beetje de wereld rond. En zij is echt nog een jonge meid. Dus dat is echt wel heel bijzonder dat ze haar kennis deelt. En dat zij eigenlijk dat doet. Dat ze het samen doen.
Nou, volgens mij is het een supermooie podcastaflevering geworden. Wat mij betreft gaan we luisteren naar Fabian Willems.
Yes.
Thank you for being here.
It's lovely to be here. Thank
Where
you for having me.
Where are we today?
We're on Microsoft Campus Building 30 for MVP Summit 2023, which is in person for the first time in 4 years.
Really great.
Yeah, I know.
Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you are
doing? Sure. So my name is Fabian Willems. I'm a senior program manager. No, actually it's product manager now. It was program before. Now we're product managers on the Microsoft Graph Customer and Partner Experiences team.
Yeah.
My role there is that of a SME around certain workloads. I report to Jeremy Thick, and he has several one of us that are, we're all tasked with different SME areas. But in addition to that, I'm also the MVP lead for Microsoft Graph, which is the reason why I'm here this week.
It's a great week for you with all the MVPs here.
This is something that we have fought for tooth and nail to get, and we're happy that it's here, and we're happy that the MVPs are here, and RDs are here as well.
And how many sessions do you have?
I'm in charge of 12 sessions, and we've just, the 12th one is happening right now. I have somebody doing that one for me. That's all right. That's all right. But this is day 3, last one.
Great.
Yeah.
We saw your LinkedIn, mm-hmm. and there is on that you are a volunteer. Mm-hmm. Can you tell more about that?
Sure. So, the way it started was when I joined Microsoft, in August, in October, it's a giving month and we have different giving months here at Microsoft and it basically is volunteerism and, charities. So one of the things you could do is either do cash, contribution or contribution in time. So, I just thought I could just get cash and bring to the fire station and say, hey, here's some money. But when I did that, they said, hey, would you consider volunteering? And I said, not really. But then I always wanted to be a firefighter. Wow. Which kid doesn't want to grow up and, drive in a fire truck? But in the state of Maryland.
Right now, you heard it.
I know. You heard it? Exactly. That's somebody's dream. That's somebody's dream coming through right there. But in Maryland, you have to be an EMT an emergency medical technician in order to be a firefighter. So I had to go to school for EMT before you can go to school for firefighters. And when I did school for EMT is long. So when I finally got through it, I said, maybe I just won't be a firefighter. Yeah. And then I got sucked into is the wrong word. There was a lot of empathy that, you gain being in an ambulance dealing with people and that kind of got me, and I just never left it.
Wow, so, impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. You joined Microsoft 2 years ago, I think?
2 years and 9 months ago.
Yeah. And before that, you was an MVP by yourself.
Yes, I've been an MVP. Well, I was an MVP for 7 years across a few categories. My last one was a dual MVP in Azure and Visual Studio Development.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how was your journey? How was it to be an MVP?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. I think you and I have had a conversation about my MVP journey. But it was, you know, everyone goes through their own little journey. And mine was, you know, not unlike like others that were, mine was a little bit complicated. Most of my friends at the time, this is when SharePoint was a category, were SharePoint MVPs. And, you know, I did a ton of contribution work towards SharePoint to the point where people even thought I was an MVP. But there's a cap at the time, and it was zero sum unless somebody left SharePoint. There was not going to be exactly right. So a lot of people said, you know, you're doing great work. I think you'd be a great candidate for Office MVP or this MVP.
Oh,
I said, no, I'll hold off. I'll hold off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I said, no, thank you. You know, if I wanted, you know, if I'm going to get it, I'd like to get it in this space because this is what I specialize in. And, you know, a couple of back and forth and missed opportunities. But then, I was asked to, by Bill Baer, I know I can drop his name, he won't mind it, to speak at SharePoint conference. And he gave me a session to do, to come out and speak. Then when I got there, he gave me another session to do. And then the next day he says, you know, I have one more for you to do. So basically I had what was going to be one became three sessions, and I did a great job. I got excellent evals. And then afterwards I got a nomination and said, you know, I would like to nominate you again. And that turn I became an MVP for SharePoint.
And how long was that? That's... time?
2013 was my first year up until 2 years and 9 months ago. yeah.
Great. And you still wear a jacket sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I'm now part of the MVP Reconnect program, which is, you know, when you're not an MVP anymore, that's what, you know, you can be put in. And there's a lot of benefits to that as well, too, because you maintain your Office 365 subscription for at least 1 year. Oh, no, you maintain that for a little while, but your Azure subscription you maintain for 1 year. Because one thing, you know, you want to screech and halt and then all of your stuff stop working because, you know, typically what we do is we'll blog using that services and we'll do a ton of stuff using that service. Yeah. And you don't want it to just stop. So I'm on that program now. And I still wear the jacket. That jacket that I wear is, that's the holy grail of jackets. That's the one that everyone says they want.
Everyone wants it.
I know. And I have it.
You wear it at an happy hour. And
yeah.
Say,
I wear it everywhere.
Why do you get that jacket?
Yeah. But I only took a backpack here, so my packing was limited. So, you know, I had to choose wisely and I chose that one. Yeah.
It's a fancy one.
Thank you so much.
You don't have it now, but,
No, because it's warm in here. Yeah. But it's cold outside there.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. You are based in Washington?
In the D.C. metro area, in Maryland, really. But I just say D.C. metro area because it's you know, really small and it encompasses, in, you know, because, you know, typically, on a typical day, in fact, the office that I go to is in D.C., but yeah. I live in Maryland, but so it's D.C., Maryland, yeah.
And you work a lot hybrid with your colleagues, I think?
No, it's not even hybrid. It's 100% remote. I work from home, and typically I'll go into the office if there are people in town, and, you know, just also to get out of the house, I'll go do a meeting inside the office.
And how is it here to see some colleagues and met them in real?
Yeah. So this is my second time on Microsoft campus as an employee. We did an offsite, I want to say a year and a few months after I joined, which is because my manager, his entire team is remote. So we met together a year and a half in, and this is now my second time back. Yeah.
Great to be back.
It is great to be back. It feels different. I mean, in fact, my Skip, my manager's manager, and I were talking, and I said, this time I actually feel like I belong here. Because the last time I came back was my first time as an employee. So, yes, I know the campus, but I always needed an escort to go around. But now my badge works. And then now, I know. And now I go into multiple buildings, you know. And now I'm letting people in. So it feels...
Stay with you. And
yeah, exactly.
Everywhere.
It feels real. Yeah.
How do you keep work-life balance?
Great question. It's always a work in progress, especially when you work from home and you're 100% remote. Because when I come down from downstairs, from upstairs, which is where the bed is, you know, I beeline to, you know, to get my cup of coffee, and I come back to my office, and I'm literally in that office until I have to pick up the kids from the bus stop, and then, you know, and in the morning as well, as I'm getting my kids ready, the younger one, I'm also, you know, doing work. So It's easy, but it's challenging because we also have the flexibility of, you know, work on your projects. So it's not a set schedule. So, you know, there'll be sometimes on Sundays I say, you know, let me put in a few hours, or sometimes I say, let me put in a few hours. But there's be times as well, like when I pick up my daughter and she says I'm hungry, and then we'll just go for sushi, and this won't work for the rest of the day. Yeah. So it's a mixed bag, but I enjoy it.
Yeah. And you're community driven.
Yeah. Very.
So there's a lot of things happening in the evening, I think. Yeah. Also.
Mm-hmm.
So you pick up what you are doing, what time what's best for you.
Yeah, there's a balance, in addition to, so there's a ton of tasks that we have to do, or we're tasked to do. We have big rocks, things that we need to do as part of our job. Then we have other projects. The MVP program is another project, right? This is not part of my core responsibilities, but there wasn't a person who was in charge of MVPs for Graph. And so I saw that as a gap.
Yeah.
And, you know, I spoke to my manager about it. He said, are you sure? I said, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And I basically took, it was spread out across a few people, but I centralized and said, I will take it on. And since then, that's now become my side project.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some of our listeners might not know what the Graph is.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell us more about
that? The Microsoft Graph. So the Microsoft Graph is a unified API. So it's basically a middleware component that connects to all of the resources in M365, you know, your files in OneDrive and SharePoint, your mail and calendar in Exchange, and so on and so forth. So it's one API, one authentication, one SDK, one set of documentation. And the benefit of the Graph is that rather than knowing an API for SharePoint, like SharePoint REST, or knowing another API for Outlook and having to deal with several different authentication models and different schemas, the Graph unifies that. It creates a better experience for developers and also for ISVs building software.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
There seems a lot of difference graphs. Is that, or is it just...
It's one graph, but many workloads. So I think the best way to put it is that the graph surfaces endpoints to other backend services that people are traditionally, as I mentioned before, Exchange, right?
Yeah.
So I think where the explanation may be warranted is that people sometimes will have a challenge and say, okay, I'll give an example. I'm being throttled. So, well, why are you being throttled? Are you throttled on the graph side, or are you throttled on the service side, or And that's where, because we're somewhat of, I won't use the word facade, but technically it's a facade over another service. So, we work with, first party, producers that have their own APIs, and we try to get them onto the graph. Exactly.
There are a lot of buzz around the new AI driven capabilities like Copilot.
Right, right.
What role does the graph have in it?
Right. So, I'm going to dive for a little bit.
Yeah.
As you're saying that, I'm thinking of the Oprah meme where she says, you get a co-pilot, you get a co-pilot, you get a co-pilot. But yes, if you saw Satya's recent keynote, and even Jared mentioned as well, there was a particular slide. I think I took a screenshot of it when I saw it, and it was showing just the relationship of how Copilot works, and Graph is nice and smack in the middle.
Yeah.
In fact, it's not the first time. You'll see many things where Graph is in the middle, which goes to my explanation before, where Graph is basically that positioning that allows you access to the backend resources. So Graph plays a pivotal role in Copilot, and we'll continue to do that. And as we start to work Copilot into all of our other products and inside our products, Graph will have a critical role because it is really the best way to surface M365 data and provide it at scale for people to be successful.
You're quite involved in a community.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you feel that communities are so important?
I wouldn't be here without the community. That's probably the best answer I can give you. The community, because here's the thing I would say. I think that no one can be an expert at everything, and the community allows you to be specialized, but be able to scale with your community colleagues, right? So I remember when I just started off, I was known as the BCS guy, Business Connectivity Services guy. And, I really spent my time because there was no really good docs on it. Documentation, and I basically just spent all my time going through creating my own doc, creating my own blogs, and people would come there, to figure out how to do stuff. In fact, somebody told me recently that, somebody was stuck and found a blog of mine, to get unstuck. But in other areas, I wasn't that skilled at, and I remember I called up Todd Clint one time, and Todd Clint, he's more IT pro, I'm dev. but I need to get a SharePoint. Back then, we used to have our own SharePoint server in order to code because we're coding against the object model. But you have to get the server done first. And I was stuck trying to get a hybrid environment done with different service providers, SSPs, they used to call it at the time. And yeah, he jumped on a call and walked me through it. And Spence Harbor, who's like genius level, when I was trying to do Forefront Identity Manager, FIM, to do user profile services, he writes the book and the Bible on that. I sent him an email and he sent me some information. So that's how it works. Other. Exactly.
Yeah. That's what the community is for.
And I continue that even now. And I think even when I spoke to you about your MVP, I said, you know, one thing that I would encourage you to do is always give back and bring somebody along.
Great.
Yeah.
We will do.
Yeah.
I saw you a few months ago for the first time, I think, at the ESPC.
Yes.
And you were there with your kids.
Yes.
And one of your kids also spoke there, right?
Yes. Yes, she did.
Tell us.
So, goes to community as well, but more so, I guess, yeah, well, we'll just say it. We're allowed. If you look at the speaker lineup, I was the only black speaker there. And so there's a lack of representation in that way.
Yeah.
My daughter also will be the only black female there. but she was not necessarily a speaker, but I wanted her to see a couple of things. One, that it's okay to not necessarily look the same, but you can do the same things and you should be comfortable in your skin while you're doing that. So I wanted her to see that me doing it, but also give her the opportunity to try it herself. Plus, I took her out of school. So I had to find a way for her to tell her teacher that this is something that she's doing and it is really real. And, you know, this is the reason why, you know, she's absent. So she did a fantastic job. She got great reviews to the point where ESPC sent us an email saying that we got, you know, great evals.
Great.
And in fact, just add on that, one of the student ambassadors at Microsoft saw the LinkedIn post that I did, asked her to write a blog. Now there's a blog, and she's getting tons of recognition on that blog, and she'll be back at ESPC again speaking with me one more time. Yeah.
So she liked it.
She welcomes it. I don't think she liked it because she's more, like myself. I'm very introverted unless I'm in the camera like now talking to you. Like, but when I'm not, I'm back there with my computer doing this. So we come alive in those environments, and she found that bug too, where, you know, she likes it, but it's not natural for her, but it's exciting and she wants to continue it.
It's great to have a family trip.
I know.
With each other.
Yeah. Well, what COVID taught me is that, you know, the world is small and it changes very quickly. And I used to travel a ton before without bringing the family and the kids. But now every chance I get, I bring them along because, that was their, a couple of conferences before was their first time outside of the United States. And now I want to make sure that I can, you know, give them cultural immersion and also give them the technical chops and also the diversity piece of it as well, too. So
great.
Yeah.
It's important that women are more visible in the IT.
Yeah, I know. trying to help everywhere I can. Yeah. Why?
Why you think?
Yeah. There's an intro. I'll tell it with this little story. So the day before, I'm getting tired. The day before, I was actually at an event with Michael Pisarek, who owns a company called Upstrility, and Joy Apple is also there with him. And they put together a happy hour, and it was a women's happy hour. And they invited, of course, men there as well, which is inclusive.
We
but one of the things that I found out, you were there too, of course, what struck me was he said that 2 out of 3 co-owners are women.
Yep.
4 out of 5 directors are women. And that was not by design. It's just best people for best job. But sometimes it's not as equitable as that and as fair as that. So as much as I can, recognizing that I'm also a minority, I try to look at it from a gender situation. I look at it from a culture situation. I look at it from a ton of different scenarios.
Yes.
And I'm trying to build that back. And using the graph as an example, especially around the MVP program, I'm being intentional in bringing IT pros in because Graph is known as dev. So I say, well, no, let's bring in IT pros. I'm also intentional in terms of the speakers that I bring to speak from the one, you know, the first party teams that, you know, we have not just male, we have female, we have different cultures and so on that's representative. And also I'm trying to do everything possible to get as many more Graph MVPs that are female as possible.
How many are there now?
Not many.
How many?
I can tell you that I've grown it 0.3% since I started the program, which is not a lot. Yeah. But I have a metric for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to try to do something.
We have to. And I'm looking for you to help me with that.
I'm going to help you.
Yeah.
By promoting it.
Mm-hmm.
on Twitter, I saw you reading a book right now.
Yes.
Thinking Fast and Slow.
Yes.
Tell us, what is that kind of book? And why do you like it so much?
It's allowing me to retrain my brain or retrain how I perceive the world, which is, I guess, sometimes through your eyes and your brain, right? Thinking Fast and Slow, it recognizes two states. And I haven't finished the book yet, so I may not be doing it that much justice. Exactly. My plane ride back, I'm hoping to get a little bit further in. But basically, thinking fast is things that is more limbic. It's just natural. Like if I ask you, you know, if we're walking together and we're walking fast and I say, what's 2 + 2?
What, 2 + 2?
Yeah.
4?
Exactly. But if we're walking fast together and I ask you, what's 1, 2, 3 times 3, 2, 1? What will happen naturally, you'll slow down and you'll think.
Yes.
That's thinking slow. So once it's just programmatic and, but the thing about it is that you can be tricked by that. It's like sometimes you'll make assumptions just because it's automatic, but that assumption could be wrong because you're not seeing a ton of stuff.
Yes.
So, I'm studying that because I've actually, there's experiments in the book and I tried the experiments and I said, wow, that is really revealing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. So I'm trying to retrain myself.
Out
yeah. How my mind works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's time for the envelopes.
Okay.
We have three.
Mm-hmm.
I pick three. And you
are you going to pick the three?
You can pick one.
I can pick one out of the three. Okay.
Put them.
All right.
And there's a question.
I always go middle.
And you can.
All right. See what the question
see
is.
See what it is. And tell us.
Okay.
Let us know.
All right. All right. It's in Dutch.
Oh, really?
No, it's not too much.
It's English.
Okay, so all right, it says, what is the coolest place you have remotely worked from in the world? Wow. This is thinking slow, by the way. This is thinking
it's
slow.
Fine.
The coolest place you've worked at remotely in the world. Coolest. That's it. How do you define coolest now, right? Well, let's do it this way. I'll say it is Jamaica. And you would say, well, you're Jamaican. How can Jamaica be the most coolest place? Because recently I went back to Jamaica for the first time for more than 20 years. And when I was there, although on vacation, I was still working. But it was great to actually have my laptop facing the beach and work.
I think that's the best,
yeah.
The best place.
Especially having the home, you know, like when I left there, I was a child.
Yeah.
Straight out of high school. And when I went back, I was an adult working. So it was a totally different feeling. So it felt cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
And the beach. Tell us something about beach there.
About what? The beach?
The beach, yeah.
Oh, so the Jamaican beach is, have you ever been to Jamaica before?
No. I want to know.
The Jamaican beach is one of the, because it's on the Caribbean Sea and because it's on the north coast, which is where I was in Ocho Rios. It's a lot of corals and there's a natural reef. So you can literally walk for way out and still see your feet. Yeah. So it's like very beautiful. And it's white sand. So white, yeah, because of the corals, right? The corals crash. So it's not brown sand, it's white sand, but it's basically very, very fine corals that are chopped up. Yeah.
Sounds great.
It is beautiful.
We need to go there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Have a nice MVP summit.
It's done.
Almost.
Yeah. Hopefully we're doing it again in person next time and we can do another podcast.
Yes. Let's do that.
Thank you, Femke.
Thank you.
You're welcome.